Welcome to the Smarticle Podcast, where we take a good article and make it gooder.
Brandon, I love nothing more than keeping it real.
Let's get real today.
By the way, for the reels, if you like the show, send it to a friend. Let them know that you should listen to the Smarticle Podcast. Would you agree with that?
I would totally agree with that.
Okay, good. Here's the headline. Gen Z Christians want leaders to keep it real. Liz Jenkins from Christianity Today brings us the thought, Brandon.
Well, I love that. Liz Jenkins, it's impossible with Christianity Today whether or not... Liz Lincolns. It's impossible to know whether or not it's a MAGA or a... the article reads like someone who was a little bit woke. But you know, I don't know how old Liz was. I couldn't find her age.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
You cannot be in Christianity Today and be woke. So what you're saying does not make sense.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Oh.
Positive. They take away your Christian card if you're woke. They literally...
I don't think that's true, but...
It is.
I'm going to have to disagree with you there, Lee Harvey.
And I know how much you love when we do articles from Christianity Today, so
you
can
thank me. I do like Christianity Today. I find I learn something every time you give something to me.
I can't wait. This is going to be a great discussion. Let me read a couple little lines here. As Generation Z teens grow up, many are moving further away from Christian faith and challenging church leaders to adapt new expectations from the youngest in their flocks. The young people of Gen Z are diverse, educated, and social media savvy. When it comes to faith, they're open to Jesus and his teachings, but skeptical about institutions and leaders putting on a facade. For some generations, the more mythical their spiritual leaders, the more they trusted them, said Daryl Hall, author of Speaking Across Generations. And he goes on to say, Gen Zers want there to be no gap between Daryl and Dr. Hall, no gap in persona, no gap in who I am and who I present myself to be. You know what? Everybody always says the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Gen Z is how faith comes back because they keep it real, Brandon.
Yeah, I don't know if it's how faith comes back or not, but I tend to relate more with Gen Zers than I do with people of my own generation in terms of faith. I think that this whole this article was a little bit pedantic in the sense it was talking about people, by the way, the only reference people from the South. Because only Christians live in the South now. It was every person they referenced was from the South. They're like Raleigh, North Carolina, Georgia. And it was all like, you know, people loving on me. So there's clearly they're interviewing people that have been raised in the faith. But I do think that Christianity Today has a real dog in this fight. When you look at the data on this and you say, okay. Like, you know that I am a member of the Benevolent Protective Order of Elks. As are you.
Okay? I got you. Yeah.
Okay.
I've only been for 20
you know
years,
that
but go on.
At my lodge... Everybody's like, I'm the youngest guy at my lodge and I'm old. So I tell them, like, look, if we don't get younger, we're going to be gone. And I think that that's sort of what they're pushing at here is that people are leaving Christianity in droves. I think I was reading somewhere where in the 80s, it was 80% of Americans would identify themselves as Christian. And now it's less than 50% identify as Christians. So that's a very significant number in a relatively short period of time. One generation, it's changing. And what this article is basically saying is that the pastors of these churches, the leaders of these churches, have no concept of what Gen Z and what the real world is.
Well, I will push back. What I think they're saying is the church that we grew up in is that the pastor was this mythical dude on a hilltop and was perfect. By the way, I think both sides wanted it that. Pastor wanted it that way, and the parishioners wanted their pastor to be perfect. I think that's how it used to be. How many pastors do we know that are not perfect people? And I feel like they would want to have told their parishioners they weren't perfect people, but had to hold it in because their parishioners couldn't handle it.
Yeah, I remember a very famous incident happened that you may or may not be aware of. A pastor friend of ours admitted that he struggled with pornography and people, this was probably 20 years ago, and people in his church just lost their minds. They're like, they couldn't believe that he had said that. I think today...
Yeah.
Those Gen Z congregations were like, thank you, brother. Thank you for saying what we've been all thinking. And thank you for letting us know. I mean, look at pastors' kids, how messed up they all are. Well, that's because they had to pretend that they're perfect their whole life. It's like, I agree 100% with this. The scripture that Paul always said, it's that people often reference is, basically pay your teachers well. Take care of your pastors. That there are need to be teachers within the faith, and there do. There need to be leaders and teachers to help people, guide people along the way. The problem is we have deified too many of these leaders. I think it's even worse. Well, I shouldn't say that because the Catholic Church obviously deifies its leaders, but in the evangelical church, it's just this weird. Look at what happened. What's that church from Australia? Hillsong? Where dude was like the pastor to Justin Bieber, and that dude's like wearing like sweet, you know, like driving Ferraris, and all of a sudden he got in trouble.
My favorite thing about that, I saw the documentary. He literally, like, the crux of his church was he would invite all these young people and be like, "Don't have sex until you're married. Don't have sex. And then he was just like boning everybody around him.
Was he? Was he cheating and doing it all?
Yeah, like literally, young people. Like these young people are on this documentary ruined. Like, he would just come in and browbeat us for holding hands and do it. And, like, meanwhile, he's boning everybody else.
In this article, this young woman referred to the fact that someone had come to her because she was wearing, like, a tank top to church. And she needed to be more modest in her approach. And that's the problem, is that these people look at everything that's not real and nothing that is real.
You know, honestly, here's the deal. Like, we know the divorce rate's the same as Christian church and non-Christian.
Higher.
Everybody is not perfect. Everyone. Christian, not Christian, both. Everyone is not perfect. If you remember that, you don't put people on a pedestal. We all have issues. They're different from each other's. But, like, it makes me relate to my wife because she's not perfect and I'm not perfect, and we got to work around the imperfections. And not putting that on the table, to me, creates this chasm, which is what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Pastor's perfect. Everybody else is not.
Well, one of the quotes in there that I really like was, as young Christians like Johnson expect the same kind of transparency, honesty, and authenticity from their leaders. I've been reading this book that I've referenced several times recently called Low Anthropology. But he talks about the fact in this book about the problem that this newest generation is facing is they don't see authenticity. The authenticity that people talk about is often cultivated authenticity. Oh, you know, I struggle too. It's like, well, you don't need to tell anybody that, right? Show that. You know, it's like, let's talk about how blah, blah, blah has struggled with whatever. You're just, you know, it's like putting up one great quote in there was like on Facebook, like you never see somebody talking about how they're posting a video of them screaming at their children because they're mad, right? They only say, oh, look at my messy house, right? Well, that's not authentic. You're posing something to pretend that you're actually authentic and you're not. So I think that there's a huge point in this about authenticity. One other thing that struck me, and I want to be very careful and sensitive about this because it's heartbreaking, but yesterday, as we record this, yesterday was the school shooting in Nashville, right? That Tennessee has passed all these laws to let anybody who wants to have a gun carry a gun, you know, walk around in public with a gun. And this, it's an irony. They're also the state that's pushed all these transgender issues. So a transgender man, used to be a woman, biologically a woman, goes into a school and shoots 6 people, including 3 9-year-old children. It is heartbreaking. It is awful. But I wonder, and again, I want to be careful about this, but I think about this transgender person who went in there. Obviously, they had mental health issues. Should they have had access to machine guns? No. I don't even want to talk about any of those other bigger issues. But I do wonder, this was a former student of the school. When you go in there to do something like this, you're holding a lot of anger towards that place. And I wonder what that anger was about. Did that school show this person authentic love? Like, look, we don't necessarily understand or agree with transgenderism, but we want to love you as you are. You know, or did they say, ooh, shameful, bad, sinner? You know, I look at these kids that grow up in the church, and maybe they struggle with their sexuality, or maybe they struggle with their sexual identity. Are they being loved authentically no matter what they do? Or are they being put into a box that you have to behave like this in order to get our love?
What I think is happening with Gen Zers and people like your daughter who are going to grow up to be a faithful Christian, Brandon, is we're ending black and white. Like, I grew up in a very, you're going to heaven or you're going to hell, by the way, which is a very not old perspective. It's only within the last 60 years that Christians think that there's a heaven and hell. You're either going
200,
there,
but it's okay.
Less than that. It's the evangelical Christians. And most Christians around the world don't even think that. We're getting rid of black and white. You can keep it real. You can be a real person with real faults. You can show that. And that's what Gen Z wants out of their leaders, and walk around with warts and be okay and still be in leadership.
Well, and I think what you're pushing into is the fact that of a sin-based economy within the church, right? You are a sinner or you're not a sinner. And they're saying, well, you know what? We're all sinners. Everyone's a sinner. It doesn't mean you're going to go to hell because you're a sinner. It simply means that sin is a separation from God. That's the belief system. It doesn't mean that you're a horrible person because you do certain things. And I think that that is what they're pushing into. And you know, these churches are going to continue to drive younger people away from the church if they keep a sin-based economy going.
I just think Gen Z is going to grow up, not even religion aside, will grow up to be a more tolerant, less black and white. So gun control, transgenderism, gay marriage, you could go on and on and on. They will have a more balanced view of it than my in-laws, who will die off in the next 10 years. And I do believe culture will become just not relevant, but just lighter.
More pluralistic, probably. I guess that would probably be the word we'd use. I think that it's interesting. Do you think that, you know, sort of the last thoughts on this is that, is this the death throes of that sort of ultra-conservative weirdness? You think we're at the end times of that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the baby boomers are the worst of it, right? The baby boomers are the worst of the religious right in that they've had everything and they still want to send people to hell. They're the worst of the there was another generation before them. They're the worst of it.
Yeah, they are a weird amalgam of coming out of wars and depressions, but never actually living through that war. Anywho, well, Larry, thank you for teaching me about Gen Z and its faith and all the things that go along with that.